This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake Up Call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and become the persons they're meant to be in Jesus Christ. Several years ago, when Lori and I visited our daughter, Mary Elizabeth, in New York City, we went to the 9/11 Memorial and Museum. We spent several hours there, and I could have stayed longer. It was a very interesting, informative, and most of all, moving experience. Not many museums will bring tears to your eyes, but, well, this one did it, at least for me. One of the things that kept coming back to me after I had left the museum was how all those people in that place on that day, September 11th, 2001, had no idea what awaited them on that fateful morning when terrorists killed 2,977 people. They arrived by the transit system, bus or train or ferry boat or automobile. Some boarded the planes that went down. They fully planned to arrive at their destinations and continue working and take breaks somewhere at some point during the day, eat lunch, work that afternoon, and go home, and probably the same way they arrived. They would see their loved ones that night or soon. No one knew the tragedy that awaited them. They were just ordinary people going to work. They said goodbye to those they loved, never knowing that hug or kiss or tender words would be their last to them. Well, my point here is that they all had plans, and some, I will assume, worried about those plans because they were human beings. Will the roast in the oven be overcooked? Will the subway get me home in time to watch Wheel of Fortune? Will Jack get the proposal to me on time, or will he be late as usual? You know how it goes. Well, in several days, we're going to hear some reflections, likely, about 9/11. So in anticipation of that, here's a thought for you. What about those who were grieving that day, 9/11, because of a loss in their life, that very day? What about you? And what about that? Surely some of those people were themselves dealing with loss. Think about it. Maybe it was some young lady's first day back to work after having had a miscarriage, or perhaps someone was carrying that emotional weight of a son that died in a car accident, or maybe a drug overdose, or someone was sad because their dad had a heart attack and passed away suddenly. And maybe those people were carrying that weight of that very day as they entered Twin Towers for their work. They had passed by the events of the morning encumbered with a heavy heart. So they may have been thinking, how can I make it through another day without Jim? Or what will I do 10 years from now without Dad's coming around to see me or seeing Sally graduate from high school? Or what would my baby have been like 8 years from now? Would he or she have enjoyed a trip to Coney Island? And so on the day they died in that building, their mind was maybe somewhere else, and they weren't, before they even got to the building, able to be with the people who were really with them, especially the people they loved, the ones still living. None of us has a tomorrow promised. So what about those who were grieving that day because of a loss in their life, that day, 9/11? We can grieve, yet we still move forward with our grief one day at a time. Please don't take my thoughts here as being insensitive to grieving persons. I'm not meaning to be directive on how to get through grief, and certainly not harsh to grieving people. I mean, I'm one of them. I grieve the death of my son, my mom, my dad, my brother, my wife, my father-in-law, my grandparents and others, friends, and I see pain all around me. I'm thinking of something James, the brother of our Lord Jesus, wrote in James chapter 4, 13 through 16. Look here, he said, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do what is best, this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil, he wrote. Today, and every day, I miss the hugs I won't receive from Harrison later in the special moments of our life together. I miss his laughter. And often, I have a moment of sadness when I drive to church on Sunday mornings because I would always call my dad at that moment and we would talk. And I miss hearing my mom's voice when I would call and she would say, "David, you've called." And I wonder what my brother would have been like had he lived, and well, on and on it could go. I don't know the future. When I think of that pain repeated day by day over a lifetime, if I dwell on that, if I think on that, the pain of each day, it becomes too much. And so I think of our Lord's words in Matthew 6:34, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." When I think about what James wrote and then what our Lord wrote, I know today is all I've got. So I may have a heaviness, and sometimes it's weightier and more burdensome and more painful at different times than others. But I don't know about the future, so I don't worry. I don't know how I'm going to endure it. I just live today. And so I receive today. I accept this day. And I try to live one day at a time and enjoy one moment at a time. So as we think about that, think about receiving each day as a gift, even if you grieve, so that you're not missing moments with those around you. And you can say with the Cherokee prayer or proverb of years ago, these words: "When you were born, you cried, and the world rejoiced. So live your life so that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice." And you go out and live your day to the fullest. And then come back here next week. And in the meantime, you go out there and be the person Jesus Christ created and wants you to be. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun.